Well, it is today, August 30th, 2023, 1827 hours, Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you once again. We have a song for today. It's a performance of the song Georgia on My Mind, which Willie Nelson released in 1960. Ray Charles in 1960. Of course, it was recorded by Hoagie Carmichael, the co-writer, with Stuart Gorrell, back sometime in the 1930s, or I guess 1930. But it was never a hit at that time. There were no charts probably anyway. But Ray Charles in 1960 released it, and it was on the charts in 60 and 61 as number one in the U.S., on the Billboard Hot 100, which is quite great. And then when Willie Nelson released it in 1978, it became number one on the U.S. Hot Country Songs and number one on the Canadian RPM Country Tracks. So this song has some hit power, hit star power, hit success as a hit. And here it is, Willie Nelson and Ray Charles, Georgia on My Mind. Start at the beginning.
Full guest, Ray Charles.
You know, we're pretty good together.
I guess right.
I know this guy's moving all the time.
All right, brother.
I love it. Could we listen to Georgia, though, would you?
All right.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the night. Other arms reach out for me. Other eyes smile tenderly. Still, in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. I said, Georgia, Georgia, no peace on that fire, and the snow sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia, my daughter, oh, the whole day through, this old sweet song, Georgia on my mind, my mind, Georgia, oh, my Georgia. Song of you comes as sweet and clear to moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me. Other eyes smile.
Well, that, wasn't that wonderful vocal stylings where, when I'm listening to that, I can just, it inspires me to want to sing because, I mean, you have to sing a lot, I believe, to be able to do that, to be able to sing in an unpredictable way where you're just feeling it and you're feeling your way through. And both of those singers can do a magnificent rendition of a song that way. And Willie is especially surprising how talented he is as a vocalist. He's completely surprising, unpredictably, in the way he sings. So, I mean, I love the melodies that he spontaneously generates live, you know, improvising as he goes. It's just quite something. There's only one more point that one might believe to be logical in completing this examination. That is the topic of chapter 5, which has to do with Quirinius, or Quirinius, as we're calling him. There's the point that Mr. Emil Schurer makes, that only a governor could carry on war in a province. That is, in the Roman Empire. And the provinces in which the Homonidensians were found were in the Taurus Mountains, engaging perhaps, quote, Asia, Pamphylia, Galatia, Cilicia, or Syria, end quote, of which the first three could not qualify, having no legions with which to wage any war. Also, since Cilicia is in this period a part of Syria, or not a consular province, which is also true of Pamphylia and Galatia, and, quote, a consul was never sent to a praetorian province, end quote, which is administered by a praetor, P-R-A-E-T-O-R. He says also here that, Mr. Emil Schurer says, whereas Quirinius led the war against the Homonidensians as one who had been consul, end quote, he was acting as consul in this war and as governor of Syria. Further, Mr. Schurer adds that since the war precedes the year 3 CE, when Quirinius was appointed to Armenia as counselor to C, initial C, which means Gaius, Caesar, it involves the governorship of Syria prior to the famous one of 6 CE when Quirinius governed Syria as referred to Josephus. The one of 6 CE being the one that we're more familiar with. Now, in the next part of chapter 5, paragraph 12 of Born and Raised, King Tilius Varus governed Syria in BCE 7 to 4, but not as military leader, a post for which Quirinius is suited. Couldn't get my Kleenex to my mouth. Okay. Is it cold in here? I'm trying to think. A little bit. Yeah, maybe I'll put my jacket on my arms. The difficulties that we suffer. Include the way the problems we have in getting cooperation from people, but also some other problems, such as, you know, health problems and so on. That sneeze, it was just because of the temperature, I believe, in here. Now, King Tullius Varus governed Syria in BCE 7-4, just to repeat, but not as military leader, a post for which Quirinius is suited. We may reject the notion that Luke has named the wrong governor by appealing to evidence already presented in concluding that Quirinius governed Syria, as Mr. Ramsey proposes, at the same time as Varus, not after him, as Mr. Schurer concludes. In a military capacity, as observed in other cases of Roman imperial practice. Most notably of all, we have found that the time given from the events of the life of Quirinius allow, equally with any other date, that he fights the Hermonidenses in BCE 6, the very year that Jesus is born in our own BG, different from CE 6, or 6 CE rather. I would also add that an article by Mr. Mark Smith in 2000 CE dates, quote, campaigns in Cyrenaica and against the Hermonidenses in Asia Minor, end quote, by Quirinius sometime before 6 BCE, which is what we would call BCE 6, citing, it's the same date, citing for this dating both Tacitus Annalis and Florus Epitome, the Annalis of Tacitus and the Epitome of Florus, plus two more modern works, namely R.E. Brown in The Birth of the Messiah, 1993, page 551, and A.N. Sherwin-White in Roman Society and Roman Law, 1960-61 and 63, pages 164 and 65. This would agree with the census having been initiated by Rome just prior to the birth of Jesus, allowing for the census to have been done within a one-year period. Finally, the purpose and plan of the Gospel of Luke by Ernest DeWitt Burton offers no, quote, serious objection on the ground of other data, end quote, to the birth of Jesus, as stated by Mr. Ramsey, along with us, in the year BCE 6. So quite a significant volume of evidence for the year BCE 6. We may now begin to consider the problem of enrollment in the Roman Empire and how it may be correlated here to our very year, as Mr. Ramsey discusses in his book. While the following chapter of the present article may offer very considerable support for the preceding and is useful to a dedicated, thorough discussion thereof, the reader may choose to skip the reading of chapter 6 for the moment and go without prejudice to chapter 7. Time permitting, a thorough reading of chapter 6 would be enlightening in order to brace the earlier points. That's the end of chapter 5 of our article, Born and Raised. For our daily scripture, little children, Proverbs 10, verse 17, he that is holding to discipline is a path to life, but he that is leaving reproof is causing to wander. The importance of discipline is highlighted there. And now Deuteronomy 21. Let me get some more water. This is not enough. I'm going to run out.
Right.
Well, I think, generally, I'm much, much better today, having not been eating calcium, although I ate some yesterday. I sort of forgot that I'm not supposed to eat calcium when I have vitamin D toxicity. All that water is so good. Oh, yes. Also, you are encouraged to drink a lot of water when you have vitamin D toxicity or hypercalcemia, which is the mineral calcium toxicity, to flush out the calcium. You're urged to drink a lot of water, and I've been doing that anyway without realizing I had toxicity. But I didn't have toxicity for very long, only for the past time when I've been drinking a lot of water, probably, but not very long. Only it wasn't for more than maybe a week or you know, days rather than weeks, you know. So in case this is Moses speaking to the Israelites again on the banks of the Jordan opposite Jericho, the east side of the Jordan River, in case someone is found slain on the ground that Jehovah your God is giving you. Plus, let me say that they're north of the Dead Sea, or the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea. Moses says, in case someone is found slain on the ground that Jehovah your God is giving you to take possession of it, fallen on the field, and it has not become known who struck him fatally, your older men and your judges must also go out and measure to the cities that are all around the slain one, and it must prove to be the city nearest to the slain one. And the older men of that city must take a young cow of the herd that has not been worked with, that is not pulled in a yoke. And the older men of the city must lead the young cow down to a torrent valley running with water, in which there was customarily no tilling or sowing of seed. And they must break the neck of the young cow there in the torrent valley. And the priests of the sons of Levi must approach, because they are the ones Jehovah your God has chosen to minister to him. We're in verse 5. And to bless in the name of Jehovah, and at whose mouth every dispute over every violent deed should be disposed of. Verse 6. Then all the older men of that city who were nearest to the slain one should wash their hands over the young cow, the neck of which was broken in the torrent valley. And they must answer, verse 7, and say, our hands did not shed this blood, neither did our eyes see it shed. Do not set it to the account of your people Israel, whom you redeemed, O Jehovah. And do not put the guilt of innocent blood in the midst of your people Israel. And the blood guilt must not be set to their account. And you will clear away the guilt of innocent blood from your midst, because you will do what is right in Jehovah's eyes. In case you go out to the battle against your enemies, and Jehovah your God has given them into your hand, and you have carried them away captive, and you have seen among the captives a woman beautiful in form, and you have got attached to her and taken her for your wife, you must then bring her into the midst of your house. She must now shave her head and attend to her nails, and remove the mantle of her captivity from off her, and dwell in your house. This is verse 13, and weep for her father and her mother a whole lunar month, and after that you should have relations with her. And you must take possession of her as your bride, and she must become your wife. Verse 14 now. And it must occur that if you have found no delight in her, you must then send her away agreeably to her own soul. But you by no means must sell her for money. Or you must by no means sell her for money. You must not deal tyrannically with her after you have humiliated her. Verse 15. In case a man comes to have two wives, the one loved and the one hated, and they, the loved one and the hated one, have borne sons to him, and the firstborn has come to be of the hated one. Verse 16, it must also occur that in the day that he gives as an inheritance to his sons what he happens to have, he will not be allowed to constitute the son of the loved one, his firstborn, at the expense of the hated one's son, the firstborn. For he should recognize as the firstborn the hated one's son by giving him two parts in everything he is found to have. Because because that one is the beginning of his generative power. The right of the firstborn's position belongs to him. Verse 18, in case a man happens to have a son who is stubborn and rebellious, he not listening to the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and they have corrected him, but he will not listen to them. Verse 19, his father and his mother must also take hold of him and bring him out to the older men of his city and to the gate of his place. Verse 20, and they must say to the older men of this city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He is not listening to our voice, being a glutton and a drunkard. Verse 21, then all the men of his city must pelt him with stones, and he must die. So you must clear away what is bad from your midst, and all Israel will hear and indeed become afraid. And in case there comes to be in a man a sin deserving the sentence of death, and he has been put to death, and you have hung him upon a stake, his dead body should not stay all night on the stake, but you should by all means bury him on that day, because something accursed of God is the one hung up. And you must not defile your soil, which Jehovah your God is giving you as an inheritance. And that's the end of Deuteronomy 21. Moving now to, that was verse 23, the last verse of Deuteronomy 21. Revelation 6. And John continues his account of what he saw in heaven. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice as of thunder, come. And I saw, and look, a white horse, and the one seated upon it had a bow. After one of the four living creatures had said, come. And a crown was given him, and he went forth. This white horse and the one seated upon it went forth, conquering and to complete his conquest. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. And another came forth, a fiery colored horse, fiery colored. And to the one seated upon it, there was granted to take peace away from the earth, so that they should slaughter one another. And a great sword was given him. Verse 5, and when he opened the third seal, the Lamb did, I heard the third living creature say, come. And I saw, and look, a black horse, and the one seated upon it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice as if in the midst of the four living creatures say, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the olive oil and the wine. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And I saw, and look, a pale horse, and the one seated upon it had the name Death. And Hades was closely following him, and authority was given them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a long sword and with food shortage and with deadly plague and by the wild beasts of the earth. Four horsemen are what are known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Verse 9 now, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar, John says, the souls of those slaughtered because of the word of God and because of the witness work that they used to have. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, until when, sovereign Lord, holy and true, are you refraining from judging and avenging our blood upon those who dwell on the earth? And a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little while longer until the number was filled also of their fellow slaves and their brothers who were about to be killed as they also had been. And I saw when he opened the sixth seal, and a great earthquake occurred, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the entire moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as when a fig tree shaken by a high wind casts its unripe figs. And the heaven departed as a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and every island were removed from their places. And the kings of the earth and the top-ranking ones and the military commanders and the rich and the strong ones and every slave and every free person hid themselves in the caves and in the rock masses of the mountains. And they keep saying to the mountains and to the rock masses, quote, "Fall over us and hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" End quote. And that's the end of Revelation chapter 6. Little ones, I hope you enjoyed this study today. I know I did. Very much so. I love you very much. I hope this is going to be a wonderful day for you. This is now 5 minutes or so left in our study. In our video, I should say. The study's concluded. We had that very interesting song by Ray Charles and Willie Nelson, of course. Georgia on My Mind. Beautiful, beautiful performance of it with their vocal, beautiful stylings. Just when you don't know where the voice is going in a melody and when it goes to a beautiful place that was not known by you in advance, it's such a more pleasant, such a much more pleasing thing to listen to. At least it is for me. So we're having difficulty. I'm having difficulty currently with more, or with my health, and also getting to have the opportunity to make choices in my health care. There seems to be a misunderstanding in the health care, not every practitioner, but in the health care profession, there's a widespread misunderstanding about whether the patient has any rights at all. And they seem to have the opinion that the patient doesn't need to be informed about any of the risk or about any of the options that are available for treating the particular condition. And they attempt to force the patient to conform to the way that they do things, which is a violation of the informed consent, which also requires that they encourage questions from their patient, in addition to, of course, options, giving options so the patient can choose the option that suits them. This is a very grievous problem that exists right now, and I suspect it exists in much of healthcare, not just in my particular region. Now, maybe that's what the majority of patients want. They don't want to have choices. That might well be the case, but in the case where a patient does have convictions already about what treatments they prefer and what treatments they cannot consent to in good conscience, those patients deserve a different form of treatment or a different form of interaction involving informed consent. The informed consent, which is their due right also, but which is generally perhaps not even known about by most patients. It's a difficult problem for someone who desires to choose the their own particular treatment and method of treatment. You know, someone who chooses perhaps a more modern form of treatment, such as the more recent interpretation of what root canals are like and how they must be removed from the mouth and how the sockets where the teeth were must be properly curetted and disinfected before the sealing over of the socket above with the tissue that is present. But the idea that also the infected teeth must be extracted and cannot have root canals because that would just complicate the issue. And the idea that root canals are always bad, that's a more modern interpretation. So we're just about at the end of our video now, but I really believe that it will be here. That method will be coming, but then, of course, after that, there will be another method coming, which will replace that, too. So, yeah, it is hard to say which way is the way to go, but there is a better way than what's being currently practiced. Now it's August 30th, 2023. In 1900 hours, exactly, Eastern Daylight Time, Ward Green saying, once again, I can't say it enough, I love you. I want to say farewell. This is in my behalf. Crow and Cassie, both of whom are saying bye for now.